Welcome, everybody, to The Peaceful Planet. This is show host Marcia McMahon coming to you live from the studios of DBS Radio. We have a very exciting show today. We are going to be focusing on the restoration of the United States of America, and we have some awesome and wonderful messages, and we are featuring a very special guest, Rose Campbell. Hi, Rose. Are you with us there?
Certainly am, Marcia.
Wonderful to have you. Rose works with the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, and he has some extraordinary messages to share with our listening audience. And as well, I also have messages from the Founding Fathers and one from John Lennon that's very brief, and I usually open my show with a message. For those of you that may be new to the program, or listening for the first time, I generally work with Princess Diana, and my website is at www.dianaspeakstotheworld, and you can see a lot of her messages and a lot of messages from John Lennon posted there. The music that you just listened to was a piece called The Peaceful Planet, apropos, no doubt, to our theme. That title was given to me by John Lennon, whom I work with, and I'm working on lyrics with John, and the music is being synthesized in through the talents of Bob Murray, who is creating the music for our programs, and I am working on the lyrics with John Lennon. So we are glad to be rock and rolling the Beatles, so to speak, from Spirit on this very show. And you can visit Bob's website at thestarsstillshine.com. Hear the music and call the station if you'd like to request a special song. You can also call in for readings if you would like an angel reading. I am feeling the presence of the angels this morning or this afternoon, wherever you happen to be. I'm looking for my call-in number here. Toll free at 877-876-5227, or if in Canada, 888-810-8322. And you can call in and request a brief mini reading with the angels with myself. I would like to open with a brief message from John Lennon and then get to the heart of the show today with my message from the Founding Fathers, which we're going to examine and then compare and contrast to Rose's wonderful work. And you can also find the work of Rose Campbell online. She also works with Princess Diana, and we have known each other for years, and we are very good friends. Could you give out your website, please, Rose?
www.sessionswithspirit.info, I-N-F-O.
Mm-hmm. And now that one is for your sessions that you do for folks. But can people get to the Diana website?
Yes.
And would you want to give the website title out?
Well, if they go to Sessions with Spirit, there is a link to the left for the Connecting to Diana site.
Mm-hmm.
But that email address is www.angelfire.com/mb2/connecting_to_Diana, which is a lengthy one, which it's just easier for people to access it through the sessionswithspirit.info.
Sessionswithspirit.info,
yes.
Then. It's not .com, it's
right.
.info.
.info.
If you're tuning into the show and you want to visit that website and see all of Rose's channelings and other work there, it's a beautiful website, and then you can also see her marvelous work with Princess Diana, whom I also channel, and we have brought in many messages channeled from Diana simultaneously saying almost the same thing. So I know Rose is the real thing, and it's a great honor to have not only Rose with us, but the presence of the Reverend Martin Luther King, who will be speaking to us and giving us his insights on America. So I'm going to read this brief message from John Lennon, then I'll read the Founding Fathers, and this is just a little bit about the music on the show. Hi, John, I'm hearing you. Yeah, Marcia, long time, no channeling, babe. We're glad to see you're back up and live with our music on your show, and congratulations on the new person who will be helping with the music. We're delighted to see this great stuff finally be moved to the mass consciousness, as I had predicted it would. We want to thank Don and Doug for their efforts in helping your show, The Peaceful Planet, and for being patient. Their patience will be well rewarded. We also thank your listeners and fans of the Beatles for tuning into the tunes we play on the show weekly and ask them to visit Bob Murray's site and to do more for world peace. All we are saying is give peace a chance, and that is what this show is all about. Diana sends her love, and we are all gathered now in the upstairs studio as we overlight your program and hear your work live. We love you, yeah, 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 from this old Beatle with love. So I thought that was really fun. And for you Beatles fans listening out there, you've got to hear this music that's being created by Bob Murray at The Stars Still Shine. It's really great stuff. They, by the way, call themselves the Half Beats. It's just George and John together who are creating, but they apparently performed for a New Year's concert. I found that out through another friend who is in spirit and gave me a message this week, and he said the concert was fabulous and also featured Elvis. So, you know, people do go on, and life goes on very much, as it does here on the other side. So I'd like to then move to a more serious topic with a recent message that I had from the Founding Fathers. And when I received this message from Spirit, I had been watching the funeral of Gerald Ford, and I felt the presence of some very powerful guides, and I wasn't sure. So as you listen to my words from Spirit, open your mind and heart, as you should with all messages received from Spirit, and check it against your own inner guidance for the truth. Marcia, dearest guides, I feel someone wants to speak. Guides, yes, we wish to address the occasion of the funeral of Gerald R. Ford as an opening. We wish to open wide the many potentials for America to right herself. The former president served his generation in integrity, and his death allows the people to remember a time of war when the people had had enough war with Nixon. Gerald Ford was the last of the ruling generation who worked among the Illuminati but was not engaged in them. This serves to contrast to the current president and to let the people see the obvious. We see a possibility for a similar fate. It would not be wise to consider Cheney as a suitable replacement should the House impeach President George W. Bush. The people are waiting and uniting to find a way to stop the war and bring this last cabal to an end, swift and just. Marcia, I wish to ask, with whom do I speak? Guides, we are the collective of all who have served America. Marcia, are you of the light? Guides, we are. Marcia, are you Saint Germain? Guides, he is among us. We serve the people of this republic, those considered the founders. We speak because we are concerned with the current state of affairs. We founded this nation upon democratic principles that the people held to be inalienable, the right to be heard and represented for and of the people. The people of your great country have been severed from representation at this time, as liberty is just a notion now. So much has changed. The multinational corporations are buying the vote of the representatives of the people. This sad state of affairs is not what we intended, and we petition the people again to begin within themselves and speak through other means, the media, to bring about freedom of speech once again and have representation. We, those who signed the Constitution, sign this document herein today through this channel, who works for the salvation and the preservation of the principles we hold dear. We, the undersigned, request the help of all who read this letter to save this most wondrous union. Signed, the Founding Fathers. So, wow, what a message. And, you know, this show is devoted to, in part, bringing out the truth, restoring these very principles, and bringing spirit messages in that are of this level and caliber to do what we can to bring illumination to not only Americans but to the peoples of this world. And I think, you know, something like this being so powerful a message, what they're saying here is that the vote has sort of been co-opted by the multinational corporations, and that the people really are not speaking their will. That was evident with the election because I think the people were speaking for peace, and I think that, you know, there's now a great conflict going on, obviously. We're not going to get into too much of the politics, but we do want to get into the marvelous and extraordinary voice of the one who was known as the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, as many of you have celebrated his birthday recently, which fell on Monday, and we give him honor and welcome the work of channel and clairaudience Rose Campbell, who brings to you the messages from the realms of spirit. Most notable among those messages would be her conversations with Princess Diana and Martin Luther King. She also works with others for building bridges from our world to the world of spirit. And we talked about her website before. So welcome, Rose.
Good day, Marcia.
Good day. And how are things going? And I have just finished reading what you sent me that was titled The United Forces of America, and I believe that we are working toward the same ends here in terms of bringing a sense of restoration to the democratic principles held dear not only by the founding fathers but also by the great Dr. Martin Luther King.
Well, it was, when I had seen your message from the founding fathers, I knew that I had material from Martin Luther King that was resonated extremely well with that, and that's why I wanted to present that today in league with your message from the Founding Fathers, but also because Monday was Martin Luther King Day.
Right, and what you have from him is extraordinary and really powerful, and I don't know where to begin, so maybe you have an idea.
Well, if it's all right with you, I would like to read not all of this particular treatise, as he calls it, mm-hmm. but a good section of it, and it'll take about 5 to 7 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and then perhaps we could discuss it.
Mm-hmm. Well, would it be okay if you read, you know, a paragraph at a time, and we paused, and then we interjected questions.
Sure.
I think that would work really well, and I have some parts highlighted from this message, too, but, yeah, by all means, just feel free to go ahead and start, and then pause after each paragraph, if you would.
All right. The force that is America is a fine example of how theory and reality do not often coexist. Lest anyone think I am about to embark upon a diatribe against my former country, let me clarify that statement. I was not jailed because I dared to speak my mind. The Lord knows I spoke loudly and with conviction. The folks who heard me knew I was fired up about my causes. I was jailed because all men did not embrace the theory of freedom of expression as reality. It was not the fault of the country as much as it was the fault of the few. The idea that built America held its power and its genius, despite the failings of the few, to adopt the truest meaning of that platform. The theory is sound. The reality is still in its throes of being birthed.
Yes, and that sounds every bit like him and nothing like the Rose Campbell that I know.
I'm not that eloquent, trust me.
He was really a powerful orator. I mean, you know, we saw a lot of that replay of the speech, I Have a Dream, and it doesn't lose any of its magnificence or eloquence each and every time that it's replayed, you know.
And that's why it's hard to pick and choose what to read of his, because it is a great flow.
Yes, and it is, and I had a couple of things that I wanted to highlight.
Right, exactly.
You may certainly go on with the way you had planned it.
No, I'm just saying that when I go to do things like these interviews, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, where do I begin to expose and do justice to the mass amount of material that he's given me? It's just, mm-hmm. all of it's powerful.
It is. Now, he's talking about being jailed here. And many people know that he was jailed for participating in these marches, and he suffered, you know, a great deal for his cause. And I think all people who stand up against prevailing tensions and prevailing attitudes, in that case racism, and inequality in terms of schooling and in terms of transportation and every other form that prevailed in the South, you know, he definitely suffered as a result of that.
Oh, yes, no doubt.
I mean, all light workers seem to have their own trial and tribulation of suffering when they stand up against something that needs to be changed. And it's such a shame that so many of these light workers end up being taken out of our world altogether just because of what they stood for, just like Diana, just like John Lennon, you know. So, you know, there's very interesting corollaries to be made. But do go on with the next paragraph, if you would.
I had the ear and the interest of many great men. I had the backing and the financial support of many who stood for that theory. I marched with many who also stood for that principle. I marched against many who also understood and adopted that principle. However, the convictions of some were not fully anchored in that resounding principle with the trueness of its full intent. History will show, though, that even those who would have convoluted the meaning to fit their narrower adaptation of it did so with full conviction as well. Herein lies my thesis that the forces of America must be joined in its effort to adopt, down to the roots of all men, the great and abiding spirit of the laws that the country was founded upon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's pause there for a moment because I am seeing a lot of concurrent ideas here with what the founding fathers have said to me about being severed from representation and liberty is just now a notion. The
mm-hmm.
ideal of you could go on and read the next paragraph, or you could, you know, respond to that idea.
I think I'll read the next one because it kind of fits in so well with
it. Does. Yeah.
The ideal of freedom for all men is something that is easy to say and to write, but another matter entirely to live. The idea that all have equal say and power to express their firmly held beliefs, be they religious or personal, is something that takes much striving to embrace in the fullness of that statement. My work was not to undo the freedoms of others, when those freedoms were based upon the ideals of that country, but rather to enrich those ideals. How could I adopt the ideals of my country and live there in pride if I saw great injustices being done to the foundation of that country? History will show I could not.
Yeah, so that's exactly what the founding fathers are asking for. It seems to me that America is now in the collective consciousness, not only the guides speaking through me, but the collective present-day consciousness, those who are here participating, in that everyone is seeing that there are serious issues with America from top to bottom, and everyone, including Dr. King, has to do their part to be a part of the correcting principle. We are part of a correcting effect that's happening right now in politics, and with new leadership emerging, I think a lot of people are pinning their hopes on new leaders, maybe Barack Obama or Senator Clinton or others, and I'm not promoting any personal agenda here and just dropping these names, and certainly not trying to alienate any listeners because we're not advocating any candidacy or anything. But what I'm saying is that a lot of people are looking to new leadership because they're frustrated with the current situation in Iraq and the current leadership and the rights that are being taken away from us. And Martin certainly and, you know, eloquently did his part with great courage and bravery, and he's revered as a national hero for what he did. And basically, I think he gave up his life, you know, for these very principles, just as many of the founding fathers of our great nation also did. So he's to be counted among them, I think, along with Lincoln and all the other greats, you know. But the thing I'm getting to is that when you cross a turning point in the political history of our nation, you cross that point and you speak up for what you feel needs to be righted. And in this case, the founding fathers are saying representation is just one issue. Martin Luther King was talking about the great injustice that was being done to black folks in the South particularly, but all over the country. And I think he was standing up not just for his people, but also for everyone, to ensure that the rights of all people in this country were guaranteed. And, you know, if you're listening to us from another country, I think you're going to find the words of Dr. King also extremely illuminating, because he continues to expand upon his thesis here, given in this most recent message, and he delves into the universality of the rights of all humankind. And certainly the other nations of the world look up to America for the principles that we hold dear and aspire to be like us in many ways. And a lot of nations also see that this nation is in trouble, and that we need to do all we can to save her at this point. And by that, I mean to get out and speak in whatever form of media you have to affect the greater good of the country. So it's everybody's responsibility, not just the chosen few, and not just the next president, whomsoever that may be, for fresh leadership. But it does seem like leadership has been sorely lacking for a long, long time. And we are seeing some things happening in the Congress now that we haven't seen for some time. But the point is that a lot of our freedoms are vastly disappearing. So let's go back to Martin's thoughts, or have you anything else to say about the last paragraph, Rose? What are your thoughts?
Well, just that, you know, he's given me to know, and again, I didn't know very much about Martin Luther King when I was approached by him, as because of my ability to be a clairaudient, I had to do research, and he's always made it very clear to me that he wasn't just fighting for the black people. He was fighting for the poor. He was fighting for many disenfranchised segments of people. He was most known for his fight, but he was on at the moment that he was killed, he was in the process of planning the Poor People's March, which wasn't just about race. It was about economic prejudice as well.
Yeah.
So let me pick up here, because I'm going to drop down a little bit in this reading that I have. And he explains a little bit about, you know, he doesn't want people to get confused that these words would be mine, that these are his.
That's what I wanted you to read. I think that would be excellent to read that part.
Oh, okay. I wasn't going to read that part, but that's fine.
Well, I think I have it highlighted somewhere.
Okay, I'm fine. He starts with, I have outlined in a former statement of mine how I am able to come forth now and speak as I once did. There is no magic to it. There is no miracle involved. I was a man who always found ways to make my presence known, and I am no less that force now. I have been in contact with the woman who takes my words to paper for several years now. She has only now begun to allow me the freedom to speak as I wish and to record my words. I do not mean to disparage her for not allowing me to do so before this time, because in truth I had to wait until the time was right for us both, and for the introduction again of my voice to that world. To make short shift of this topic, let me say this. I was not an orator for my own purposes. I was an orator for the purpose of a greater cause. I firmly believe that when, that then and now, let's see, I firmly believe that then and now it to be of truth. I was born in that world to be a leader for the beginning of a work that I carry on even now. I will not be silent as long as injustice still plagues mankind, and I am making use of a woman who can hear my thoughts to record even now my work for the cause of setting to rights the things that need attention. She is not of my mindset. She is not of my convictions in the most far-reaching of ways. She has not walked the paths I have walked, but she is a woman who will record with great clarity and non-bias the things that I say. Upon our introduction many years ago, she was found to be uneducated in my life's history. She found that a lacking on her part, and did investigate some of who I was. However, her part in this is solely as secretary. Her knowledge of my former life is not an issue here. However, I am glad to be working with one who cared enough to see who I had been. But that does not equate to knowing who I am now. I am using her, and in this, she is not to be blamed. My words are my own. My remonstrative tone is my own. My indignation and power of conviction is my own. Do not doubt that I carried with me to this new place much of what I was there. And do not cast an eye of contempt upon the one who brings you my words. I was and am still my own man, if that term may be used in this case.
That is every bit him. You know, the indignation, the power of conviction. I can just hear him giving another talk.
It's interesting when I was taking this dictation as his secretary.
Mm-hmm.
sometimes the... And I use the term voice, although I don't audibly hear a voice, but the thoughts, the thought voice in my head became extremely strong. And I'm sure if I were a far more sensitive person in the psychic realm, I could have probably heard him pounding on my desk.
Exactly.
Sometimes I could, quote, hear his voice raising. And I know you know what I mean, but for the general public, they might not have any idea that I don't hear his voice with my ears. It's within my head.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And that is how I do the channeling, too. And sometimes it would be likened to reading a story and hearing the voice of a main character as you're reading. But as I get words from spirit, I experience them as simply thoughts flowing through me. And I type them as I get them. And if I'm not typing, then I'm not going to get an accurate message. So I have to do it through typing. On occasion, it will come through as voice channeling a little bit with Diana. When I read what she has given me, you can hear the Queen's English. You can hear her beautiful accent and her vibration. And depending on how strong the connection is that day, you know, you can really sense the difference in not only the words, but the tone and the feeling. And I've had that experience, too. But, you know, of course, Andrew Russell Davis is a full-voice channel, and that's a little different. And you can really hear Diana through him because he's full-voice. But you and I are not full-voice channels. And yet, his words are so humorous here. He's talking, and he's saying here, "She is not of my mindset. She is not of my convictions, the most far-reaching of ways."
And that could
she
be
has
because...
not walked the paths I have walked. I mean, you can hear him in that.
Uh-huh. Well, now part
and
of that
trying
is
to
because
make the distinction.
We've had a few discussions about a few things.
Yeah, and I'm sure that perhaps your views on the world do not match up. Here we have, also I want to point out to our listening audience, any of you listening who may have come from a fundamentalist background and have any doubts about this work that we're doing, it is not the work of the devil, as the churches would tell you, but the work of heaven. And, you know, it's just unfortunate, really, that religion has things so upside down in our world, but you can clearly see that religion itself is a stumbling block to understanding the work of spirit in so many religious belief systems. And yet, I wish to point out that this is holy work, and Rose stands upon holy ground, as I do, because the Founding Fathers and Martin Luther King wouldn't be reaching out to our world were it not that they had, you know, a divine inspiration that they sought to bring down to earth for a divine purpose. And so, you know, I just wanted to clarify the point that this work you do, you are not of the mindset of Dr. Martin Luther King. I am not necessarily of the mindset of Princess Diana or the Founding Fathers or any others. As a channel, you are the servant, you are the pen, you are the voice, but you are not they. And the spirit is not the same. So the secretary is one thing, the person is another.
Right. You have to set us, in order to be a clear channel, you do have to set aside your own thoughts and beliefs, I think that's what he was trying to get across here to people, that you know, I know this woman has argued with me before. So, you know, she doesn't always understand where I'm coming from and why I want to say certain things. But she sets herself aside and says, okay, fine, just give it to me. I'll write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the sort of, quote unquote, conversations we have had. I'm like, are you sure you want to say it that way?
Mm-hmm.
And
well, you know, you are an eloquent writer, and you have a gift with words. That probably comes from past lifetimes and who knows what all else. You have a wonderful mind and way of organizing your words. So I can see why Princess Diana and Dr. Martin Luther King chose you, as it were, to do this wonderful work. And I really hope you can at some point, publish an e-book or a book for the world to see, because I know it would be very interesting.
All right. I'm going to pick up right underneath of that. And it's funny because he actually says right here, now, let me continue with my treatise.
Mm-hmm. There's no break in it, is there? I was thinking of a little musical break, but I thought, no, we're kind of on a flow here with his voice. I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
But I just thought that was humorous, because the first words I'm going to read is, now, let me continue with my treatise. The power that once was given to the men who founded that country has not diminished. Do you not see that the will of those men to create a strong and viable refuge for those who did not wish to be confined to prescribed religious and military control was God-given? Has not the ideals of those times held great beckoning power to many around the world? Would America have grown to the power structure it is without the world recognizing the greatness behind its foundation? In less time than most countries have ever been built, America has risen to a power that makes it a superstructure that others depend upon. It has shown the way to greater wealth, greater advancement, and greater ideas than the founders could have envisioned. It has grown, for the foundations laid were solid and blessed.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's confirming my message here from the Founding Fathers, for sure, and saying that it is of divine origin, that they were working under the divine.
Oh, yeah, and he really gets into that a little further down.
Yeah, if you want to go ahead and focus on that, then I'll read a little bit while you find that section from mine again, and we'll let our audience contemplate the awesomeness of these words.
Okay.
We, those who signed the Constitution, signed this document here today through this channel, who works for the salvation and preservation of the principles we hold dear, we, the undersigned, request the help of all who read this letter to save this most wondrous union. So they're asking us to save the union. I mean, you know, it sounds dire, and I feel that, I'm not trying to put out any negativity on George W. Bush or anybody else in politics, but it seems to me that they feel that the situation of that we've lost our voice, we've lost our representation, particularly with many of the freedoms that have been deprived more recently with, the eavesdropping and things like that, that they feel, I'm getting a sense, that we must absolutely use the freedom of the media to bring back our country, that they feel it's almost on the verge of a crisis. And from what Dr. King is saying, he's not satisfied with where the country is. He's not satisfied that equal rights have been provided to everyone in this country yet. And in a way, he's continuing his work. So go ahead with what you were planning to read, Rose.
Let me say here that if anyone begins to think that I am partial to America over the other lands of the world, then they are missing the greater intent of my message. I am not partial to America for her land, her citizenry, her wealth, and her place in the world market. I am partial to the ideal that America was built upon. It is an ideal that would serve the entire world well, but only if the American people can make it a reality. This is my message. This is my calling for you today. However, I speak not only to the American people. I speak to the men of all nations. Look at the pretext of what is the theory that became America. Look at the intent of that foundation. Hear what was not written in the words adopted as that nation's tenet of power. Look harder at the spirit and the will behind those pieces of paper. The will of America to be what was envisioned does reign in most of its citizenry. Pardon me. The will of most of the people who are adopted into that country is to become one with that ideal. The world looks at the facts as presented by the American people and judges the ideal. Do you not see, my fellow world citizens, that an ideal of this nature is meant not for only one country, but for the world as a whole? Had I been born in any other country, I am assured that I would have looked to the ideal that is the American foundation and fought to bring it to my own land. It is not an ideal that has any certain flag to claim. It is an ideal that may claim all flags if the will of the people of these lands were to recognize the genius of the spirit behind it.
Mm-hmm. Spirit is capitalized there, so he's talking about the Holy Spirit being involved in the ideals of America, and the Holy Spirit being involved in the idea or ideal that the foundations of American democracy should rightly be provided to every citizen of the world, not just Americans, but every nation and every citizen. And we as light workers, I think myself included, uphold that idealism, that would be a possibility, especially in this age of ascension, and that will happen. And it will happen much more quickly than people, and especially the despots and tyrants who are still holding on to the reins of power in so many nations, would like to see that happen. But I believe that Spirit has a master plan for the entire world, which is very, very great. And ending the wars is just one part of that, but communion among all peoples and fair representation for all peoples of the earth is certainly a profound idea, and only someone like Dr. King could put that forth. That's really awesome.
Yeah, it's really a call to the world, and he's not... He's not holding America up as, you know, he's holding up the tenets that was given to the people who founded America for the world. I think he's saying, if every nation in the world adopted the tenets that were laid down, that were given, and he goes on even later to say it was not the hands of men who wrote this. So let me continue to read here so they get the fullness of his words, because I don't want to give out anything. You know, it needs to be his words. Let no man think me biased. I am a citizen of no country now, and yet I come forth to discourse upon the theoretical foundations of that particular country. Why? Is it because I was born to that country in my last life as a man? No, for I have been in many countries during my life there and saw many good people from all countries. Is it because I want to disenfranchise these other countries? Never. I am coming forth now and am speaking for this way of thinking because I have been made aware of the truth of its underpinnings and its origins. I have seen the hand that wrote the words, and it is not the hands of the men ascribed as authors. America was the aegis of a new order, a new way of men living in peace and fulfillment. It was given as a sign of the times to come, and if that sounds cryptic, then let me clarify. There is no reign that will begin in heaven until such time as the reality of the theory that became the American Constitution is adopted by all lands and all creeds. It is the blueprint given by the Lord himself, and I call now for the American people, all people, to begin to bring that theory to reality. So right there, he's like, you know, pay attention.
He's leading his flock again, and he's charging us as the listeners of this audience and whomsoever will be reading these words online, Rose, and I hope you will be posting this, to get busy and be about the work of the redeeming of America and bringing back our freedoms full force and bringing back our right to say what it is that we want to say. I mean, certainly BBS and alternative radio is giving all of us a chance to have our say, and it's a wonderful blessing. But certainly this kind of message that you're giving, that I'm giving, can you see this on mainstream media, us doing a show like this, you know?
Eventually,
people would laugh
yes.
it off the air, and unfortunately we're dealing with truth here.
Well, I think as mainstream consciousness is opened
mm-hmm.
and widened.
Mm-hmm.
And as more and more people slough off the apathy, which is part of what, not so much in this chapter or treatise, as Martin Luther King calls it, this is what part of what Martin is calling for throughout this entire thing that he gave me, is for people to get out of their easy chairs and get over their apathy.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And that's what I'm calling for on my show. I always ask people to do what they can for peace, whether it's writing representatives or whatever it is that they want to do for peace. You know, and that's a good place to start, is writing representatives and becoming more vocal in whatever it is that they want to do. And I'm not saying go out and necessarily march in demonstrations, but just do your bit, you know, quietly do your bit, make your community better, do things that are of a positive nature. So, you know, he's definitely eloquent in his call to the flock, and you can see he's still got the minister there, he's still got the leadership there, but the eloquence is all his. Oh, boy.
Yeah, and I, talking a little bit about, you know, earlier we were talking about being the secretary
mm-hmm.
and taking the words. He's far more religious in some of the ways he says things than I would ever be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I had to take the words because they're his words. They're not my words. I, you know, if anybody has any doubt of that, if you knew me, you'd know I do not speak like this at all.
Well, I'd like to ask you if you would mind posting it on the BBS Spiritual Notebook, because I don't know if you're comfortable doing that, but that's a place where many wonderful channels post their work weekly. And if you're wanting to publish it in a book and you don't want to post it there, that's perfectly all right. But we have many wonderful messages that that do go up there, and this could be seen by more people. Just a thought. Or your website, you know.
Well, I haven't exactly known what to do with it. He indicated to me that he has a plan for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, he charged me to, like, I personally asked him before we ever did the first interview, you know, can I do this? Because, you know, again, they're not my words. I took them down, but they're not my words.
Absolutely.
And he said that he would get back with me when the time was right. And so really, I don't know what he's planning on doing with this.
Oh, I see. Yeah. He may be writing a book and you may want to publish it or something. And that, in which case, you may not want to share so much of this that you have, because you do have volumes now, it looks like, or close to having a book on all of this. But I think a lot of people would be interested in his words from spirit. I think it would be a very interesting addendum to his legacy. You know, it's interesting, they aired some specials this week on his papers, and they have a museum down in, I think it's Atlanta. Did you see that special on CNN?
I saw what I could on the website, the CNN website. But I didn't see it on the...
They're archiving everything now,
mm-hmm.
and there's apparently a museum of sorts, but I didn't get the full story on that either, but there's... I think they said there were 40 books or something. You know, he was a prolific writer, you know.
Well, I know when he approached me again last year, and he had approached me 7 or 8 years ago about working with him, but I was in the midst of working with Diana,
mm-hmm.
and I, one, didn't have the time, and two, couldn't. I just would not do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, you know, anyway, last year he approached me again, and he told me that he would be giving me a series of treatises, and that they could be used independently as articles, or it would also flow that it could be formulated to a book. But when we finished all of this, he kind of basically said, you know, hang on to it, I'll get back with you, more or less.
Well, he'll let you know then, but I want to confirm here that the messengers of spirit, perhaps him or other angels, are showing me a book with it's a black and white type cover with his photograph on there. Mm. And he's giving the talk of the I Have a Dream. And that's what's going to be on the cover.
Okay.
Should you decide, and should he decide, because all due respect to his wishes, of course, with what you are to do, you have to respect.
Well, interestingly enough, too, we were in the flow of this, and he, on the very last one that he gave me, he said, I'm going to conclude this or wrap this up at this time because I'm told you are needed for another work, which is also the Diana work. It still
mm-hmm.
continues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my understanding of it is he has stepped aside for the moment. But I wouldn't
yeah.
doubt that he's not coming back to finish some more of this. That was an indication that he kind of gave to me.
Well, you know, on that note, I would like to look for my recent Diana message because I have a portion here. And I think we've discussed him more than enough, and we don't have time to launch too much into our Diana work, but we can close out with a few words from her. And I'm picking up your vibration that Martin is stepping back, as it were, as Diana is coming to the fore, is what I'm sensing. And she's doing that through you and I and Andrew Russell Davis because... there are things happening right now with the investigation that's ongoing by Lord Stevens. And she has asked me particularly, and I know she's made her comments known to you and to Andrew Russell Davis, that she will be commenting on the events that are to unfold in London with the revelations concerning her accident. And that we are being asked, at least I'm being asked, to bring this out piecemeal so that it flows with the mass media and the mass consciousness. And I would like to mention that Rose has a book that has been channeled from Princess Diana. Give us the title of the book and where people can find that again, Rose.
Well, the title of my book that was given to me in 1997, immediately after her death in the early part of 1998, is entitled The Princess and the Peon, Uncommon Conversations with the Late Princess Diana. Although most currently I've not been working to promote that as much as I have been working to promote Andrew Russell Davis, because he does carry the voice, as you said, he is a voice channel. And it's interesting to hear him, hear her speak through him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a brief message from Diana here concerning these revelations that are about to break. And the reason I'm bringing it forth is because Rose and I both work with her,
right.
And I was asked to bring forth just a little bit about this to lead our listeners into their own thoughts about what may have happened to Princess Diana. And she's speaking here. And this was channeled January 13th, last week. She's saying, on a more personal note, my son was in the news lately, as well as his lovely fiancée, Kate. The media is beginning to hound her like they did me, even before I married and became the Princess of Wales. We do feel that there is true love there, and she is a woman after my heart. And she is a commoner like I was and is. Another good thing for William. For William will reform the monarchy completely. It is just the situation with my accident, which Lord Stevens is still looking into. There is much that they will have still covered up, but it will be a shock to Wills and Harry to know the truth. And when this truth comes out, there will be such scandal the very government of England will be rocked. Therefore, I wish you to post these messages to various messages boards and your website so that my son can see the date that they were channeled and know that they are truly from me, Diana, Princess of Wales. So,
right, and that corresponds to, and again, it's part of the tapestry she's weaving between you and Andrew, and it's a major plan.
It is. It's a major plan, and it's about to unfold. So, as you keep the news in mind, we remember to check back on my website, Diana Speaks to the World, and Rose's website, Connecting to Diana, for further updates for The Real Truth, because you can't get The Real Truth in the mass media. And there is much more to happen, apparently, with revelations from the investigation being done by Lloyd Stevens, and I was asked by her to bring this out on occasion on the show and in other interviews that I do. And I want to say, too, that Rose was told many years ago that she was weaving a tapestry for Princess Diana and that other channels would be joining her. And it was years that she waited before Diana came to be known by my work and Andrew's work, and that we all became more or less loosely confederated, if you will, with the voice of Diana. And Robert Murray as well also channels Diana. So, you know, if you want to check out my book, it is still for sale and up on the website. And you want to check out Rose's book, it's a great read. And she really goes into clarifying the issues of her life. And she also has a chapter there on describing the accident. So it's an absolutely fascinating read. So, Rose, it was a great pleasure to talk with you and to hear the voice of Dr. Martin Luther King and the honor that you gave him by being his secretary. And I have to say that he's definitely working toward bringing our world to greater illumination, even from the spirit side. And I really congratulate you on your work with him. It was awesome to hear his words from spirit.
Well, thank you. I would like to close my portion of the show by reading the very last words that he gave me.
Please do.
In this, again, speaking about not America herself, but the tenets of that America was founded upon.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "This is the blueprint as was given to me as a signpost to the promised land, a land that does not inhabit a geographical location, but a location in the hearts and minds of all men. Then surely shall we see the 1,000 years of peace. Amen, amen, glory be to the Lord. Ever striving and dreaming, Martin."
Wow, that is powerful. Praise God Almighty.
He wants us to be
free.
All free at last.
free at last. Martin is free and still striving. Wow, that is so powerful. It was a true pleasure to work with you again on our show, and I hope you'll come back again and visit with us as with recent updates, maybe on Diana, maybe on Martin. So we want to also, we're going to play some music. This song is written by Bob Murray, and it's called Prelude to Savannah, and it is a song about the ascension of the planet, and we encourage you to tune in next week, of course, with the Peaceful Planet, and do your part for peace on the planet. We thank you for listening today. Please visit Rose's website and my website, and have a wonderful day. Thank you again.